Hey, everybody. Welcome into Redacted on this Monday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And we are live. It is 4 p.m. Eastern time. When are they going to get rid of the stupid daylight saving time, for crying out loud? I thought they were going to get rid of the damn thing, but they're not. We've got a lot of news to get to on your Monday night. We're going to look at the very latest in Rafah, the border crossing there in southern Gaza. President Biden telling the Israeli government, Benjamin Netanyahu, this is our red line. Do not attack civilians. Do not do anything more in that southern region. But the Israeli government has a response to that. So we're going to look more deeply into that tonight.
And the Oscars are woke. You know this. It is a drivel of liberal causes without critical thought. Again, you know this, but we're going to go over it anyway, because why not? It's fun. It's also important to see what sort of the masses are being told with this woke political agenda.
Yeah, it's like the indoctrination through media right now. And having Jimmy Kimmel up there, like, I thought he was gone. Like, why is that guy still around hosting Oscars and that drivel? Anyway, let us know, by the way, did you watch the Oscars last night? In the comments below, does anyone even watch that crap anymore?
My mother does.
Okay.
I don't know that I've ever watched the Oscars.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Maybe you're going to start. Maybe you'll start watching the Oscars. Maybe a whole new generation. Maybe a whole new generation of
only it's
never too late.
The only reason I even knew it existed is because you talked about it right now. I didn't even know it happened.
Okay. Really important in your world.
Oh, man. David's world where he doesn't even have lights. Also, we're going to talk about this special report on the front lines, because Russia has launched a new offensive against key positions in Ukraine. We will look at that. We're also going to look at why banks are going bust. A lot of small and local regional banks, the Fed is warning us, are about to go bust. Do you have your money in small and regional banks? We'll talk about all of that and more as Redacted starts right now. Welcome in, everyone. And Eric, no, we're not against stuff. We're actually. We're very much anti-war on this show. There's very few like anti-war shows out there. But all the major news networks are very pro-war.
Yes, they are.
They make a lot of money off of it. They're pro-big pharma. They make a lot of money off of it. Earlier this evening, we saw an investigation into Boeing. Undercover journalists managed to get in and actually get on the record Boeing admitting that certain of their aircraft just are not ready to fly. But most big news organizations would never do an undercover investigation like that. Remember back in the day, they used to do those things like 60 Minutes, CBS. Like, they would do these things, these undercover investigations. Now they're all paid for and covered, and they make money from big pharma.
Yes,
and
the
military industrial complex. So they're not going to sneak into Boeing to do an investigation.
That was Al Jazeera that did that. So that is a mainstream media organization.
Yeah, but not in the U.S. My point is in the United States.
That was in the United States. It was Al Jazeera, which has a U.S. presence in South Carolina.
I get it. But what I'm saying is it's not based in the it's not a U.S. company is
okay.
My point. It's not paid for.
I doubt they take their marching orders from the CIA.
Probably not.
Exactly.
Probably not. You know what, though? I was watching the Katie Britt response to the State of the Union today.
Yeah.
And I thought it was well done. That's fine. But it showed to me how both parties are pro-war. She was definitely not against any of these major wars that we were talking about. She repeated lies about the war in Ukraine, Israel and all of that stuff. So they both are the same side of both coins.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, the political parties in the United States are both corrupt. We've said that on this show for many, many years, that it's a uniparty. You saw Speaker of the House Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
Right behind President Biden shaking his head in agreement about Ukraine. Like,
yes,
that the most important thing for us to be focused on is Ukraine. And Mike Johnson is there.
And for some reason, not standing when Biden said that we need to protect civilians and the Palestinians in Gaza. So, you know, and I am of the opinion that Democrats cause a lot of problems, but Republicans don't solve any.
No.
And that was never more clear than the State of the Union. They are the same. They all are Death Eaters.
So we have a lot to look at tonight. I really want to focus though on Israel. This is a very important moment. Of course, we've been warning about this for the past week and a half or so. What's going to happen at the southern border crossing right there with Egypt and Rafah? Very, very important story. So we're going to shine a light on that in just a moment.
But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Nom Nom, because if you are a dog lover and have a good dog, well, you know that they are a member of your family. So serve them top quality food that they deserve with Nom Nom. All dogs are individuals and they deserve to be served like it. So Nom Nom delivers freshly made dog, personalized or dogonalized to your dog's preference and unique caloric needs. Plus, it's made with 100% premium ingredients. That means 0% freaky fillers or funky stuff that's not good for your pup. Nom Nom has already delivered over 40 million meals because the best dogs like yours deserve the best food. So right now you can go to trynom.com/redacted. Get 50% off your no-risk two-week trial. Again, just go to trynom.com/redacted.
Well, President Biden has issued a sternly worded message to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Do not, I repeat, do not attack in Rafah in southern Gaza. This is our red line. Well, Netanyahu has responded saying, well, we don't recognize red lines and we are not stopping. So how many thousands of innocent people are about to be slaughtered in this bottleneck at the southern border crossing in Gaza? Someone who knows what's coming right now is Scott Ritter, former U.S. Marine. Scott, welcome to the show. I'm just going to ask you this. I mean, why do you think Netanyahu is just ignoring President Biden's message here?
Well, one, he can get away with it. The United States, first of all, Netanyahu knows that there's no, hard time constraint on the United States. I'll just give you evidence as to why. The president spoke about the U.S. Army engineers going in and building this this mobile pier that was going to facilitate the much needed transfer of humanitarian assistance to the citizens of the Palestinians in Gaza. It'll take 30 days for that pier to become operational at best. So right off the bat, we know that Israel has a 30-day window to do whatever it wants, because humanitarian goods aren't going to be coming in. The other thing is, even there's a scene out of Game of Thrones, season 3, where Joffrey, the king, is chastising the Peter Dinklage's character, Lord Tyrion, and he's, "I am the king. I am the king." And the grandfather says, any man who says who has to say he is king is no king. Okay, if Biden has to say, there are red lines, then he's not the king. The United States should never have to publicly articulate anything like that. There should be no need for declaratory policy when it comes to Israel. Either we're king or Israel's king. And clearly right now, Israel is king. Israel is dictating the operations of the United States. We have all the levers. Literally, Israel holds no cards whatsoever, except the fact that they own the United States Congress and they own Joe Biden. They own America. But even ownership, I mean, all we have to do is nationalize, so to speak, meaning that Israeli ownership is nothing. Okay, so you bought an election. But an American politician just simply, Congress could terminate this today by passing Foreign Agent Registration Act laws that outlaw all the illegal lobbying that Israel's doing right now, buying American politicians. The president could simply say, all those C-17 aircraft that are delivering you all the ammunition you need to continue this conflict and any potential others will cease to stop flying in. Literally, why is this discussion happening? It shows how fundamentally weak and unprincipled the United States is on this issue.
At the very heart of it, of course, is civilians. As I was speaking with journalist Vanessa Bealey a couple of weeks ago here about the concern in Rafah, the specific concern is about the children. Many of the tens of thousands of these children now have no parents. Their parents were killed in northern Gaza. So there's a lot of children here who have no parents. They're orphans by all accounts. And the largest child sex trafficking ring in the world is unfolding right before our eyes. But in the meantime, there will be bombs. There will be military strikes. These children, these women will be killed. What's your assessment of it from a military perspective? I mean, what we're hearing from Israel, of course, is they're all terrorists, right? That's who these people are. And if we unfold and we don't stop this red line, we're going after the terrorists, right? But they're not terrorists, the people that are there. In large part, they're women and children.
You know, what's that old saying? One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. Let's just be honest about the civilians of Gaza right now. They're being used by all parties, including Hamas, to achieve political and military ends. The suffering of the Gazan population was built into the Hamas plan. In order to break Israel's grip on the world, you have to destroy Israel in the eyes of the world, meaning that you had to let Israel be Israel. You have to give them the opportunity to expose the reality of their genocidal behavior. But that can't be done in theory. It has to be done in reality. And so, tragically, the people of Gaza were put out there to be slaughtered by the Israelis. This has always been the plan of Hamas from day one. And the people of Gaza know this. So it's hard to call them civilians. I know they're civilians legally, and I know our heart bleeds for them. But, you know, Shinwar, the head of Hamas, wrote a book of fiction, but it's based on the children of the camps. These orphans you speak of, yes, they're being exploited horribly. Sex trafficking, no parents, etc. They're children of the camps. Everybody who lives in Gaza today is a child of the camps. Let's be honest. If humanitarian goods flowed in today, it wouldn't change that outcome. They'll still be children of the camps, condemned to be born and to die in the camps. The only way you change this is to make the camps become the homeland, become Palestine. And so they aren't civilians. They're warriors. They're martyrs. They're people who are being sacrificed and are willing to be sacrificed for a greater cause. That doesn't legitimize anything that Israel's doing, but I just don't want to diminish what's being done here. These are not innocent victims. These are people. These are heroes, all, except the children who aren't cognizant, except they're children of the camps, and they're taught from a very young age what it means to be a child of the camp, what it means to live in a refugee camp in perpetuity, a camp where your parents were born and your parents are going to die, where in many cases your grandparents were born and your grandparents are going to die. These are the third and fourth generation of people who have known only the camps. So I don't want to call them victims. I don't want to call them innocent civilians. These are warriors. They're warriors for a just cause. Their war isn't being waged with weapons. Their war is being waged with sacrifice. These people are sacrificing and being sacrificed for a greater purpose, which is an independent Palestinian state. And if somebody can show me how we get to a Palestinian state without this sacrifice, I'd like to see it. But we all know that it can't happen. That's why Hamas did what it did on October 7th. That's why Hamas deliberately provoked Israel and then lured them into Gaza, knowing full well what Israel's practices would be. Everybody knew from day one what Israel was going to do. Everybody knew it. The United States knew it. Israel knew it. The Palestinians knew it. The world knew it. None of this should take anybody by surprise, because the Israelis are a genocidal nation. It's a genocidal ideology. And all Hamas did is allowed the practitioners of genocide to do what they do best, commit genocide.
So allowing these children, these people of the camps, to be used as lure, as bait, so to speak, is what you're saying, really. And of course, you're not. I know there'll be people that'll say, well, Scott's, you're specifically talking about the children, right? And I just want to clarify, the children are everybody. Okay.
But look, we all know that children are innocent. We know this. I mean, our laws say as such. You can't be charged as an adult. Your actions can't be considered to be adult-like until you come of age. But life sometimes dictates different realities. The reality is that if you talk to a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old child in Gaza before, during, and hopefully after this genocide, they know the reality. They know who they are. They know who the enemy is. And they know what needs to be done. Yes, they suffer, they cry, as any human would. But many of them understand what's happening. There's a comprehension there that says that we are doomed to live this life unless we do something that frees us. This is why the Palestinian people haven't collapsed. Yes, their bodies collapse. They collapse from bombardment. They collapse from starvation. They collapse from disease, but their spirit doesn't collapse. And this is what I'm trying to impart. I'm not trying to justify anything that Israel's done. I condemn it wholeheartedly. But what I am trying to say is that we cannot diminish the courage of the Palestinians of Gaza who understand what's happening. And many of them understand why it's happening. And most of them understand that this is the only way they're going to get a Palestinian state is through their sacrifice. It's tragic that it came to this, but where was the world that's crying today for Palestinian rights on October 6th? Where were they on October 6th? Nowhere. It's only after Israel started doing what everybody would knew that the world came out. And that only happened because Hamas knew and understood that. And remember, Hamas is not separate from the people of Gaza. Hamas is derived from the people of Gaza. Hamas are children of the camp. The children of the camp who aren't Hamas are Hamas because they all believe in the same thing, to terminate the occupation that's created this horrific situation. And you can't terminate that occupation until Israel is defeated. And Israel cannot be defeated until the world turns against it. And that's what's happening today.
Wow. I have never heard it put in those terms before, but it's unbelievable to think about. And of course, the world has been silent since 1948. You had New York Times reporters, you had New York Herald reporters, you had Chicago Sun reporters embedded watching the massacres unfold in 1948, and they were silent about it. The world was silent about it and did nothing about it. So
the interesting thing, Clayton, is, you know, today we talk about 30 plus thousand dead Palestinians. We talk about, what's the number, 18,000 dead children now? And these are horrific numbers. They're only horrific in the minds of the world, though, because they're taking place in a compressed timeline. The world would be very happy to allow 30,000 Palestinians and 18,000 Palestinian children to die in the elongated timeline, because that's what they've been doing since 1948. So I really don't want to hear people talk about how they're standing up for the people of Palestine. They've never stood up for the people of Palestine. Some people have, but I'm talking about many of the people out there today. They're horrified by the fact that because of what Hamas has done in compelling Israel to do what Israel wants to do, which is to kill the Palestinians, it can't be ignored. But if this was not done in a compressed fashion, if we let this happen over 5 years, 30,000 Palestinians would be killed by the Israeli occupiers. 18,000 Palestinian children would be killed, and the world wouldn't care because it wouldn't be put in front of our face the way it is done now. This is the reality of why it had to happen this way. It's the only way the world will wake up, because otherwise, no one cares about dead Palestinians. We never have. We never have.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Read the literature on it. Read the history of it. Read the cover-up of it. Read how the world turned away from it. Read how the reporters who were embedded here covering this story, no one paid attention to it. No one paid attention to it. Wow.
Look, I'm as guilty as anybody, Clayton. I want to say that to everybody out there so they don't think that I'm some sort of holier-than-thou, you know, person. I'm as guilty as everybody was in ignoring this. The only reason why I've come to the where I'm at today is the number of deaths in such a compressed timeline made it so that I couldn't ignore it. And once I was compelled to look at it, to comprehend it, to absorb it, I've had an awakening. But that awakening would not have happened unless it had happened the way it did. Otherwise, I was as guilty as everybody else, as allowing myself to be distracted, as allowing myself to turn my eyes away because it was happening there, not here, and it was happening in a way that I could pretend it wasn't happening. You can't ignore what's happening in Gaza today. You can't ignore it.
I'm right there with you, and I will say the exact same thing. I'm not sitting on some mountain somewhere. This is exactly the awakening that I think a lot of us have had.
Yeah.
Scott Ritter, great to see you. Thank you so much for these insights, and I hope people wake up in the same way that you have. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
What do you guys think? I mean, a lot of people in the chat, seems like there's division on this story. Can you imagine that? There'd be division on this story? I mean, overwhelmingly agree, but like some people said, well, some here with a super chat, the Gap Whisper says the table gap, close this gap, 2024. Someone else just posted a super chat. Might have retracted their super chat, though. They posted that there was not a genocide, and then they removed it. Oh, no.
In Gaza?
Yeah. So Richard O'Connor, thank you for your super chat, says Scott is an anti-Semite. Israel is not genocidal. Okay. Thank you, Ricardo. Ricardo. Okay. Do you guys agree with Ricardo?
What is anti-Semitic about that?
Yeah, I don't understand, but yeah, can you please be specific when you say like someone's an anti-Semite? Like that's when someone throws around a term like that, it's a way to shut down conversation. It's like when, you know, Tucker used to joke when someone just calls somebody a racist, you're a racist, and then shuts down conversation.
So I was reading The Canceling of the American Mind. I finished that over the weekend. And one of the things that they said is how, you know, this next generation is taught to fight with labels like that as a throwaway. Well, I don't have to listen to you if you're a shit lib or you're a Trump supporter, or you're a MAGA right or whatever, you're an anti-Semite. You can just say, noted, but back to the issue. So, okay, noted, you want to call that person an anti-Semite, but back to the issue about killing civilians. Ricardo.
Right. See, exactly. And that's a brilliant way to do it because it just shuts down conversation when people, you're a racist. And then it puts everyone on the defenses. I'm not a racist. What are you talking about?
Now we can't have a conversation. You've said that, but back to the issue. So yeah. I invite everybody to use that if ever labels are used to shut down conversation, because our society will be no better for it if we use labels like that.
Can you imagine liberals? Can you imagine how many liberals will just shrivel up and die? Like they won't know what to do with themselves.
Because, I don't care if you call us names like that. You can call me, I've been called, you know, Putin supporter, whatever, far right. Those things don't bother me anymore. I don't even feel them. So go ahead, call whatever names, and then let's have an issue. Anti-COVID, anti-vaxxer, whatever, you know.
I think I've shared before where I'd got like kind of a debate with some guy, and he was trying to, it was like a political debate, not really like a on stage debate, but just like at a pub. And like he kept, like he was bent out of shape because I wouldn't tell him if I was right or left. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't make arguments. So he was just making arguments against things I hadn't said, assuming it's that I was one way or the other. And yeah, and I kept saying, I was like, I never said that. And he's like, well, you feel that way, don't you? I was like, well, no. If I felt that way, I would say that. And he just like lost his mind. He could not make an argument without knowing what side I was on so that he knew which point to make. It was just funny.
I'm going to tell you guys right now on Redacted, homie, don't play that. We don't play that way. Yeah. We are not a part of any groups you can put us in. We're only here to study.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of people who were really angry. There was a lot of, you know, pro-Trump supporters who, and I have to praise all these pro-Trump supporters. These were people who would like lay down in traffic for Trump. They were furious this weekend. I heard from them. I heard from a lot of pro-Trump supporters that came out. They were furious about Trump's COVID position over the past few days.
Oh,
his posts on Truth Social about how great the vaccines were and all this stuff. Like, I had Trump supporters that were like, what? Did someone hack his account? Is he out of his mind?
Right.
And so I love that about these Trump supporters, because they were like, they're thinking. They're thinking for themselves. They're like, we're not just like going to go along with everything you say. They booed him when he put up Lindsey Graham in South Carolina on stage. And he's like, come on, he's a good guy. And the crowd was not having it. They're like, no, he's not a good guy.
No, I wouldn't be able to handle that either.
I would boo him down too. Anyway,
did Ricardo tell us about, is that a super chat? Or
no, that's another super chat. Labels are the tool of the uneducated. Okay. Exactly, Smokey.
You're the opposite of
Smokey
Ricardo.
Sargent says labels are a tool of the uneducated who have nothing of substance to add to the conversation. Yes, exactly. That is a very good way to put it. Let's see, a few more super chats came in here. Let me just grab them before I disappear. By the way, if you're watching us from Rumble tonight, Rumble is like under attack. Dan Bongino's show had trouble, right, David? Like, there's a whole lot of trouble over at Rumble. It's not our stream. It's like Rumble in general, I think.
Yeah, I checked several other streams, and they were having the same issues. So,
yeah. I don't think we can read that one, Jay, if it has to do with swastikas and stuff. But we probably will get YouTube will probably shut us down if we start talking about that stuff. David Dean, the human juggernaut, has been a member for 38 months, says Redacted is the best news. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Hey, we don't always get it right. We don't have an agenda here on this show. We are anti-war, and we are anti-propaganda. Like, you want to hurl propaganda at us, we're going to bat it down. And, you know, we're not on any side. We are not Republicans. We are not Democrats. We think both parties are corrupt, and they are a uniparty of corruption, as evidenced by this money that's about to be given out to Ukraine. And you thought, like, oh, Republicans are going to stand their ground. No, they're not gonna stand their ground on this. That money is gonna flow to Ukraine. You watch it, my friends. All right, we've got more news to get to here on your Monday. A little fired up tonight. We're gonna talk about the woke Oscars. And there's so many amazing, crazy moments from this that are just baffling. There's a lot of like questions about Illuminati humiliation rituals. That was going crazy today. About the propaganda, the war propaganda. They put up fake images of fake pregnant women from Mariupol on the screen that was totally debunked. They use that as propaganda on the nightly broadcasts for the woke Oscars. So we're going to talk about that. But first, we should mention we have a newsletter. It's totally free, and you should sign up because it's the best newsletter in the world, and you don't have to do anything. It's free. It comes to your inbox around 7:30 in the morning, Eastern time, roughly. You can start, you know, your morning off over your cup of coffee, just having a read it. You can read it in about 5 or 10 minutes. So just go to redacted.inc, put in your email address, and then you'll receive a welcome email from me, Clayton, at redacted.inc. You have to verify that. So it might go to your spam folder. It might go to your junk folder. Click on the verify button, and then you'll get the newsletter tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning. So it's a great way to start your day. We cover some of the markets, gold going crazy, Bitcoin hitting a new record high overnight. We put that in the newsletter, and 4 or 5 of the big stories of the day. So redacted.inc is the place to go. And we covered some Oscar stuff in there too, but we're going to do it now.
All right. Well, the Oscars is an illiberal joke. You know this, but this year it was even a bigger joke, and we're going to go over why. It highlights just how stupid Hollywood is, starting with the In Memoriam segment that they always do. You know, they do this sort of sad video montage of all the actors and people in the industry who've died over the past year. And they started it out with Russian politician Alexei Navalny, because his movie won an Oscar last year, plus a quote from him. Now, this would be hilarious if it weren't so tragically ignorant, because everyone in that room, if they knew Navalny's politics, would hate him, because he was on the right. He was not aligned with Oscar winners and actresses. He was decidedly not pro-immigration. He aligned himself with Nazi supporters. Yet they cheer him like a media hero, because the media wants to present him as one just because he's the opposite of President Putin, which makes Hollywood an extension of the deep state and the Biden administration. Is that shocking? No, it's not shocking, but it's kind of hilarious. If you know anything about Navalny's politics, and that you see this room full of like shellacked wealthy actors applauding him, it literally is hilarious.
Yeah, CIA asset, okay, known CIA asset, yes. And marched with Nazis and openly supported Nazis, right?
Yes.
And openly supported Nazis. Also talked about Muslims as cockroaches.
Yes.
Right. So, like, if they knew anything about the guy. And they knew that he was phony and corrupt and a CIA asset and pro-Nazi. Do you think that they would be cheering? Maybe
no,
like Trudeau in Parliament?
They're just literally too stupid. And so we are not stupid. We think it's funny to watch ignorant people applauding Alexei Navalny. Okay, another moment I don't think they realize is the celebration of a movie called The Holdovers. This movie is, in my opinion, one of the best anti-war films that I've seen in a long time. Clayton and I really enjoyed it over the Christmas holidays. And the woman here who won an Oscar for her role as a grieving mother whose only son was killed in a pointless war in Vietnam, did they realize that they're applauding an anti-war movie about a pointless war, yet they're shilling for the Democrats, which want exactly this, to continue pointless wars in Israel and Ukraine. Not that Republicans are any better. I mean, they're not actually picking up the anti-war torch, right? They could. Why aren't they? But in the same weekend that this woman won an Oscar for playing a grieving mother of a dead soldier, another man was arrested for protesting President Biden's speech because his son actually did die in a pointless war. It's not fiction. Like that movie. This is a man whose son was a Marine killed in a Kabul airport suicide bombing and the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. He yelled Abbey Gate and Marines while the president was speaking, and that got him arrested and charged with a misdemeanor for disrupting the speech. So look at these two things happening in society. The fictional character that lost her son gets an Oscar, right? That character is celebrated. The real thing gets an arrest. Do we only care about grieving families of fallen soldiers if they're fictional? The Oscars did, though, have an anti-establishment, anti-war moment, though. Jonathan Glazer said this when accepting an Oscar for The Zone of Interest, an international film. He got applause when he said, "Right now we stand here as men who refute their Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation which has led to conflict for so many innocent people, whether the victims of October 7th in Israel or the ongoing attack in Gaza." Now, he said this to a room of Hollywood Zionists, which means that he may soon could be Michael Jackson, if you know what I mean. Did they know what he was saying? Were they like, "Oh, but wait, no, we like, I don't know."
They're all drunk. Do they even know what they're applauding?
I mean, they literally applauded an assault on stage, right?
Right. They're like, Will Smith just punched a guy.
It's okay. It's okay. Like,
was that part of a comedy routine? They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Okay. And if you don't know what that means, what they're saying, hijacking the Holocaust by Zionist Israel government to paint themselves as the perpetual victims as they attack civilians. Do you think that's what people there realized they were applauding? Probably not, given that they were applauding Alexei Navalny. So let's move on. Host Jimmy Kimmel took a cheap shot at Republican Katie Britt for her Republican rebuttal to the State of the Union. He compared her to Emma Stone's character in Poor Things, in this role she was nominated for, where she has the brain of a baby in an adult body. And he said that that character was like Katie Britt at her State of the Union brainless rebuttal, which, okay, is a fine opinion to make, but at the Oscars, it's an unforced error, I think, because it's a not subtle signal that everyone at the Oscars is expected to be a Democrat or else. And because Democrats call their tribal call is diversity. This year was the first time that the Oscars actually had diversity rules in place. So your movie cannot be included in the Oscars until it is graded on this inclusivity scale. And they have special graders. So like you make a movie, you think you've told a great story about somebody, and then you have to submit who worked on that. Did you have any homosexuals that were maybe key grips? Did you have any transgender hairdressers? Did you have any? Here, let's go through just quickly the categories. Like, you get extra points and an A grading if you have at least one actor or supporting actor that's Asian, Hispanic, Black, Native Hawaiian, whatever. And then how that your cast breaks down, you get extra points for that. It's literally a point system.
So a general ensemble cast, like if you've got LGBTQ plus, you get like extra points.
Yeah, you're going to get A's, right? And so if you are working with only, I mean, you're talking about whose stories get to be told here, right? So if you're a white, straight man, your story should not be told. And if it is, you better have some people of color and some rainbow people around you to put that story on, or else you're not even going to get considered.
Or if you're a straight white male man who creates a bomb that destroys the earth, like an Oppenheimer, because Oppenheimer like walked away with all the awards. So maybe that's the only way in which you can be like a white man whose story is told if you foment massive amounts of war and destruction.
Well, that's why critics of these rules are saying they don't really work, because look, Oppenheimer still won everything. Barbie was at the top of everything, like center of the gaze, right? But you can still say, yeah, but the cook on the craft line is, you know, a non-binary Latina or whatever. So we get the points. Or you could say the hairdressers, you know, are all gay men or transgender gay men, whatever, right? Let's look at you also get points, the next one, for people in your creative leadership and department heads. So, you know, producers, that kind of thing, general ensemble. The next one talks about how, yes, hairdressers count, you know, people who are working in post-production, people who maybe interns on the job. And then the last one talks about like even your marketing team. So people who work in the marketing, publicity, and distribution of the film, if you've got some LGBTQ plus in there, you know,
and by the way,
people
just to
with
be,
physical just, disabilities.
Just to be clear, when I'm talking about Oppenheimer, I'm talking about Cillian Murphy, who played him in the movie as the cast. He's Irish. He's a white Irish guy. Just to be clear, people are like, you know, some people are saying Oppenheimer's not. Anyway, I'm not talking about him, Oppenheimer. I'm talking about Cillian Murphy, the actor. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay. I didn't catch that.
But people,
I don't understand it, and I don't care okay. about that. But right. okay,
just want to be
they
clear.
They do. So thanks yeah. for working with them on that. Okay. Again, so stories made by white men or about white men are out, and if you're a white man, I guess Brokeback Mountain would count because that's about white men, but they're gay. So you still get all the points.
You get all the awards.
Powder. Well, powder would still work, I think.
I don't know.
Powder.
So anyway.
I guess in modern Hollywood, like Brokeback Mountain would just get even more awards. It'd be on the front page of every magazine.
I don't think so, because they're white.
Because they were two straight actors.
Oh, that's right. Well, okay. Man, this is why we can't have good things anymore in Hollywood.
They're white and they're Midwestern.
Yeah.
Two things that Hollywood hates. And yeah, they were played by straight actors. And, you know.
And they're cowboys.
Also, because they're homosexuals, that's anti-trans. So you may not. It broke back maybe out, I think.
Yeah. But well, now that we analyze it.
I think there's a technicality there because I think they were actually straight guys in the movie. They just fell in love.
So I think one character. This,
but I know we're going down a rabbit hole of that, but okay.
Okay. Yeah, we won't do that. Well, here's what they did to one white man. They kind of degraded him, or you decide how you feel about John Cena standing there naked for inexplicable reasons. I watched the piece and still didn't quite understand it. Some people are saying that this is some kind of Hollywood initiation ritual.
Illuminati. Yeah, an Illuminati humiliation ritual, which, you know, ask ChatGPT whether or not Illuminati it's hard to say. Illuminati humiliation rituals are real. And of course, you know, AI will say, no, there's no evidence that they're real. It's a conspiracy theory that you would have that a group of powerful people would humiliate you in front of millions of people around the world as a white alpha male who they make dress up in dresses on a regular basis. They make him walk out there naked and put a card in front of his.
What are some other examples that we might have seen of this initiation ritual? Like, did Oprah not have to do it because she's black? She got in.
I don't know.
According to these theories,
a lot of people saying it. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm off the top of my head. Can you guys think of any other big humiliation rituals that we've seen, like on TV, like this in this kind of a way? I mean, with the Will Smith thing, no.
Maybe that was purposeful. I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
Let us know in the chat.
All right, those are the theories. We know nothing about it, so. Tell us if you want to, but we're not disseminating the information. And finally, Elon Musk, he put it this way in summarizing the Oscar. Winning an Oscar now just means you won the woke contest. So, yeah, was there any redeeming value of the Oscars? Now, even my mother, who loves Oscar parties, she likes to, you know, dress as the characters and everything. But my mom is very fundamentalist Christian, and she feels like, lately she said to me, I feel like going to watch these Oscar movies, it's just very confusing. It must be confusing to be a child because they have so many illiberal agendas. And even my mom, who loves the Oscars and Oscar movies, feels like this all feels like Sodom and Gomorrah, like she can't take it. You know, yeah. That's how they've sort of lost her. And she was an avid fan of the Oscars. So let me know if you would even be bothered by this. They haven't publicized the ratings yet, so I'm curious who cared.
Yeah. Let us know in the comments below about this. Okay. We've got a few here. I just want to read them off here. Okay. Janet Jackson, the wardrobe malfunction.
Okay.
What other stuff do you see? You guys can call them out too if you see them.
Where she was basically canceled, but Justin wasn't.
Yeah. Right. He's the one that ripped her shirt off and she was the one that gets canceled.
Right.
Right. Just like they canceled her brother. Jim Carrey, Robin Williams.
What happened to them? Okay. And, you know, for those of you who just get annoyed by sort of Hollywood type news because you don't like TMZ. The reason that we cover this is because it's important to see what are the mainstream media narratives. That's something we do a lot. It's not because we care at all, although a little bit I care about dresses, the dresses and the hairstyles and things like that. I'll own that one. But other than that, it's not because we, you know, think that Hollywood is worth paying attention to for any other reason other than the mind control.
Yeah. Well, we've got more news to get to here on your Monday. We're going to look at a number of big stories, including, a Russian offensive on the front lines tonight. We're going to take you to the front lines against Ukraine right now. The battles, there was a big firefight just about 2 hours ago. We're going to take you there right into the action of what is actually happening as Russia makes incremental progress and more Ukrainians continue to die. When will there be a peace agreement? Doesn't seem like NATO has any appetite at all for that. We're also going to talk about the banks going bust and what that means for U.S. small and regional banks. We'll talk about that. But first, I don't know if you guys saw gold, again, hitting all-time records over the past few days. And, of course, we've seen Bitcoin now skyrocketing as well. And, again, we're talking about these banks going bust here in just a few moments because these small and regional banks tied to the commercial real estate world right now are in trouble. And the Fed, publicly coming out, Jerome Powell last week in front of the Senate Banking Committee saying, yep, well, we're going to see some banks collapsing. What? And this came 3 weeks after Janet Yellen said the very same thing. So get ready for small and regional banks to close, and they will be gobbled up, of course, by the big corporations, the big Wall Street banks, and they'll push you into a digital currency. That's exactly what's about to happen here. And so we're big proponents here on this show of making sure that you have real, tangible assets like real estate, gold, silver, precious minerals, at least a portion of it in your portfolio. And our friends at Lear Capital can help you get set up and investing and buying gold and silver today. They love talking with our viewers, so just give them a phone call. They'll help you through it. They actually have a $3,200 gold kit, which is a great report, which they can teach you all about where the price of gold is targeted to hit $3,200 an ounce. So you can get that free report. Just give them a phone call. Right on your screen is the 1-800 number, 1-800-613-3557. Or you can visit the website at learredacted.com. You can buy gold and silver coins and have them shipped right to your house. You can keep them in your gun safe if you want. Or you can have them stored off-site if you'd like as well. And it's protected under armed guard 24/7. Totally up to you how you want to do that. Plus, you can receive up to $15,000 in free bonus medals with a qualified purchase. So call our friends over at Lear today. They are American patriots. They have thousands of five-star reviews. They're a fantastic company. Call them 1-800-613-3557 or go to learredacted.com. That's learredacted.com. So our thanks to them. All right. Well, Russia has been making incremental gains against Ukraine near Zaporizhzhia. Of course, they just in the past few weeks have surrounded and taken over the city of Avdiivka, which was a major NATO stronghold. They built massive fortifications to make that one of the strongest defensive cities in the war. They've been doing that since 2014 with NATO's help. That city fell, and now Russia continues to make major gains, destroying American tanks, American Abrams, and also American Patriot battery systems over the past few days. And Patrick Lancaster is with the troops on the front line, the Russian forces on the front lines right near a firefight, and he filed this report exclusively for Redacted.
Hello, Redacted. I'm Patrick Lancaster, and right now we are on the Zaporizhzhia front line with Russian forces. And as you see behind me, there is a Russian soldier on guard here. Now, this brigade is the Crimean Brigade of Volunteers. We're going to have a talk with them and see what's happening here on the front, because right now it's a really sensitive situation, because there's reports of drones, Ukrainian drones overhead that are tracking contacts in this area, supposedly, and we don't know if they're going to be hitting here or hitting where. But these soldiers are on guard against Ukrainian forces just in that direction over the hill. So we're going to see what happens. This is the very front line.
Передвигаемся очень быстро по позиции. Летают птички, работает арта, соответственно. Так что на месте не стоим. Расстояние 10-15 метров каждый друг от друга. Все, поехали.
Лёнь, я где?
Вы все вместе? Ты пока здесь. 10-15 метров расстояние.
человек. Если хотите, идите, но не все вместе. Куча не идите, пожалуйста, они смотрят. Заходите. Прилетит что-нибудь. Там у нас две позиции на ту сторону. Две позиции здесь. Здесь гранатометы. Здесь противотанковые гранатометы. Вот это наша защита. Вот здесь все минные поля.
Крайняя линия.
Крайняя линия. Вот туда. Вот видите поселок. Там уже хохлы.
Ага.
Сейчас поступила информация, что у них ДРГ движется в нашу сторону. Вот, чтобы предупредить их нападение, сейчас мы вот ту вот полосу лесовую, сейчас мы ее прочешем с покемончика, что если вдруг они там, чтобы их там не было.
Ага. Это постоянно как это?
Да.
Ага.
As you hear, there is reports of a sabotaged Ukrainian team or spy team, basically.
Что будет сейчас?
Ничего, сейчас будем ждать. Если обратно ничто не прилетит, также останемся на своих позициях. Будем смотреть вперед, ждать. Но где-то ходят поблизости, раз передают, значит где-то рядом. Все, больше в принципе нечего сказать.
Ну, как обстановка?
Обстановка тяжелая, опасно, в каждый момент может прийти, то есть ждем любую минуту, ночью, днем, вот. Постоянно стоим в боевой готовности.
И это ДРГ, что с ними?
ДРГ, не знаю, пока что их не видно, вот, но надеюсь, они сюда не сунутся.
Ага, и вы стреляете на, как... What were you shooting at? What was the process of what you were doing?
Что мы конкретно делали? Зачем мы стреляли туда?
Это предупреждение. То есть, если они вдруг в нашу сторону сейчас идут, то есть мы начинаем стрелять, они планы изменят.
Mm-hmm.
Может быть, вернутся.
So, ваш принцип, понимаю, какое
прямая,
место...
Да, вот прямая видимость, вот они вот здесь, вот там поселок, вот они на окраине того поселка уже стоят.
Ага, ага.
Понял. Ну, это даже, ну, поселок, да, можно так сказать.
И сколько метров вы думали они?
Ну, здесь где-то километр с небольшим.
Okay, that's been a special report for Redacted. We've got a lot more information coming, so stick with us. And to find the extended versions of these reports and much, much more, you can follow my YouTube channel, Patrick Lancaster News Today.
Yeah, thank you for that report, Patrick. And if you want to see more extended versions of that, censored versions, we try to cover this here on the show. YouTube censors our content on a regular basis, so we couldn't show you, there's a lot of other things in that video we cannot show you in that report, so if you want to see the extended versions of that, you can, but they will flag us for it, and so there's only certain things we're able to really show you on these platforms, unfortunately, to get the truth out there, but one of the only journalists literally on the ground covering what's happening on that side. You get, of course, all the propaganda on the other side. From Zelensky and CNN and everything else, but we want to bring you the real side on this, on the other side of the story, get you updated on that. Now, Mr. Smith, I wanted to comment. Mr. Smith, this chaps my ass when I see a comment like this. I just have to put on my spectacles for it. Mr. Smith in the chat says, Redacted are controlled opposition. There's no way you're able to speak so freely on YouTube.
Actually, Mr. you know Smith, what though? I think that that's
funny you should say that.
Yeah, let's no, but that's that. Actually a compliment because what he's saying is that he doesn't think we should be able to say the things that we say and that they're allowing it because we might be controlled opposition. So I guess that means he thinks that we're dancing on the line of acceptability.
Yeah, well, thank you for that compliment. We are not controlled by anybody, so thank you very much for that. It's a very nice compliment, Mr. Smith. But we are regularly censored here on this show. I mean, if you hear our back and forth conversations with our team at Redacted, like once or twice a week, there's a story that YouTube blocks.
Or downranks or demonetizes or things like that. Like we haven't, you know, yeah.
And we've been taken off the air.
We've been hand slapped. We get hand slapped regularly.
We've been banned for three different times now. We've been banned on COVID, on Ukraine coverage. We've been downranked and demonetized on Israel stuff.
Pfizer.
Julian Assange. Oh, four times. Yeah, four times. Julian Assange. Julian Assange coverage also. So they don't like what we cover here on the show. However, Rumble.
Yeah, I was gonna say like
Rumble's great.
If people knew how much of my week was dedicated just to trying to go through and be like, I don't know if we can say that. I don't know if we should be able to. You know, like YouTube's not gonna like that. That's like I'm the bad guy in that. I'm the one that's always like, YouTube's not gonna like that. YouTube's not gonna like that.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
We censor ourselves in order to only in order to follow the rules.
We don't censor ourselves.
I mean, yeah, I do. There are plenty of times when I'm like, I'm not going to show that, but I will allude to it.
Well, okay, let's be clear about that, because there are times where there's certain words and phrases that we will get, literally, they'll knock our stream off the air. They'll shut our channel down. So for that, we then make sure we're able to say it on Rumble, or we release it on Rumble, or we do it on Rumble. If we have an interview on COVID or something like that, we make sure that it's on Rumble, and we then say goodbye to the stream on YouTube for that very reason, because we can't share it with you there.
Right.
Then there are, of course, some offensive words, and there are certain things that they won't allow us to talk about, like there's like certain elections we're not allowed to talk about with voting, because they'll ban us on YouTube for that as well.
Right. That's self-censorship. That's something that the lawsuit that Dr. What's his name? One of the J. Bhattacharya is claiming that because he had to self-censor himself on YouTube and Twitter and things like that, that this was a personal burden to him and it imposed on his First Amendment rights. Yeah. To speak freely. We do this all the time. We have to say, are we allowed to say that? And can we allude to it, or can we say it another way? And so I'm curious that if the Supreme Court does find that that's not allowed, will it get easier for creators like us?
Well, and one thing that they do is they suspend us for something, and we lose revenue for that entire time we're suspended. But then when they come back and change the guidelines, we don't lose the strike. We don't get the revenue back. So I hope that, you know, something would open up a way for us to be like, hey, YouTube, you took it down for this reason. That is no longer the case. Where's our money?
Right. Yeah. They banned us for our COVID coverage. And then
we can't even get our million subscriber play button because of it.
Yeah. So we hit 1 million subscribers. And because we had a strike, a community strike, they won't send us our 1 million viewer gold play button. I mean,
and
it's just so stupid,
one,
right? They're like,
pandemic.
No, because you got a strike, we won't send that to you. Really?
Right.
You bastards.
A strike for something that was removed. For a guideline that was
Changed. And it was overturned.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Because what we said was the vaccines don't stop the spread of COVID, which is true. Now, it's, you know, that held up. The punishment did not. So...
Now the guideline is literally the opposite. You could get demonetized and banned if you said that it did.
Right.
So they completely flipped the script on that one, and still no play button.
Yeah. And they still didn't remove our strikes. Anyway, it's just a long way to say that, we have to deal with this crap on a regular basis. And we sometimes have to allude to certain things, unfortunately, on YouTube. And we hope you're picking up what we're putting down some days, because
I think we have the smartest audience of any other creator. I'm just going to say that.
I believe
that that's true. So I know you guys are right there. Okay, we have more news to get to. We're going to talk about banks going bust, more predictions for the global economy coming up. We're also going to talk about whether or not Fannie Willis is lying, and did she even need to lie? You know the expression, if you're in a hole, stop digging. Someone tell her, please. We have Lionel Media coming up, and I can't wait to see what he has to say about all of that.
And Gerald Celente is going to be joining us to talk about the banks and gold and all of this as well. So we've got a couple of great guests coming up.
All right. But first, we want to tell you about our friends at Buy Optimizers, because if you are tired of feeling tired or always hit the snooze button when it goes off in the morning, well, maybe it's time to do things a little bit differently and take care of yourself. Because if you really stop to think about it, you're taking care of everyone else. Who's taking care care of you. Well, you can take care of yourself better with Magnesium Breakthrough, an all-natural supplement that helps you reduce fatigue and sleep more peacefully. It even strengthens muscles and improves your heart and brain function. While most magnesium supplements aren't full spectrum, Magnesium Breakthrough is the only magnesium supplement on the market that contains the optimal ratio of 7 essential types of magnesium. So imagine having the strength to get through your day, get out of bed in the morning, all of that stuff. If you want to feel more energized, get the best night's sleep ever, then check out buyoptimizers.com/redacted. Use our promo code redacted and you'll unlock special offers. Again, two things to remember: the site buyoptimizers.com/redacted and use our code redacted. You'll be amazed at how much better you feel by taking Magnesium Breakthrough.
Gold hits an all-time high. Banks go bust. The U.S. border invasion gets worse. Apple ditches its electric car project. Commercial real estate collapse unfolds. Of all these things are happening right now, our next guest predicted all of them. So how can any one person do this? Well, our next guest is one of our favorite guests here on Redacted, and our audience asks for Gerald Celente to come back regularly. He is, of course, the founder of the Trends Journal, which, of course, forecasts what we're about to see many months before we actually see it. And Gerald, welcome back to the show. We had you on right at the new year, and we did our big 2024 predictions, forecasts, and you have the big Trends Journal predictions for 2024. And I can't believe I was going through it. I was going through how many of the forecasts that you nailed on our show back then a few months ago have already started happening. Gold just hit an all-time high. So you guys have been nailing this.
Yeah. I've been at this for 44 years. You know, these are some of my books, you know, Trends 2000, international bestseller, Trend Tracking, far better than Megatrends, Time Magazine. I've been at this, you know, for a lot of years. And I have to tell you, I'm very sad. You know, I'm happy the forecasts are coming out, but I'm sad for the reason why they're coming out. And when you take, for example, you know, we're talking about the commercial real estate. We forecast this was going to happen back in May of 2020, when they locked down the world. You got to work it out in your home. You can't go out. You only can have 10 people in your house. Stand 6 feet apart. You know, well, no, make it a meter and a half. People started, they're working at home day after day, week after week, year after year. And they're saying to themselves, I had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to commute an hour and a half each way.
Right.
I hate this. I'm not going to do it anymore. Now, I'm the guy that, say I have 10 floors in an office building. Everybody's in a damn cubicle. I don't see them. Yeah, stay home. I don't need all this space.
Right. Yeah.
So.
And now these offices are closing down and totally empty. They're, you know, I've talked to some skyscraper owners who say that, you know, 60-70% of the buildings are vacant.
Your office vacancy rate in New York City is at 23%, vacant, nobody there. Your office occupancy rate in New York City, the city that used to never sleep that now is closing down at 10 o'clock at night, your office occupancy rate, meaning people going to work, is at 49.5% according to Castle Systems. Now, all the businesses that depended on commuters, going out of business. Now let's go to what's going on with how you're going to pay. I'm going to default on the building. And who's going to suffer? Oh, the banks. The banks are going to go bust. What happened last year around this time with the bringing down of the Silicon Valley Bank, with the Silicon Con Man Bank, and First Republic, nothing. Nothing compared to what you're going to see. And most of the loans are being held by small and medium-sized banks. And what they did when the interest rates were down near zero, they bought government bonds that are worth nothing now. So they don't have the cash to cover these losses. We're going to see a banking crisis, the likes of which we've never seen in modern history.
What is going to happen to the average American? Because you say that. I've been saying that here on our show, looking at the same, I'm looking at your trends forecast, and I'm seeing what's happening with these small banks, the regional banks, the small little banks that have a lot of these commercial real estate loans. And as they adjust after 5 years, 6 years, they're not going to want to refinance. The owners of these buildings are not going to want to jump from a 3% interest, 4% interest to 7, 8% interest rate when no one's coming to work in the building. It makes absolutely no sense. So you can see it clearly, but then you have people saying out there, no, this is just alarmism. The Fed did stress tests on these banks. And they're fine, nothing to see here, nothing to worry about, Gerald.
This is from this week's Trends Journal. Yesterday, Spectrum New York One reported that, quote, the delinquency rate for office buildings in New York City, you ready, has increased more than 1,000% from January 2023 to January 2024.
1,000%
increase. It's not in the news. You can't find it anywhere. Hey, did Taylor Swift have sex yesterday? I mean, you know, this is what the news is.
So also, on top of this, now you're seeing, of course, the destruction of the U.S. dollar and the U.S. currency, and this is why, and I mean, you can tell us exactly why. Now we see gold, another one of your forecasts from earlier a few months ago, gold hitting an all-time high. A lot of people said, no, gold's going to go back down. The U.S. dollar is supreme, nothing to see here. So this week, gold hits an all-time high, breaks $2,100 a troy ounce for the very first time. This is stunning, but not surprising to you.
No, because it's very simple. Again, tracking trends is an understanding of where we are, how we got here to see where we're going. So here we are. How did we get here? Well, once upon a time, there was a thing called the COVID war. And I'm not making that up. That's what they called it. Here. This is in this week's Trends Journal. Then President Donald Trump said, it's a war. I view it as, in a sense, a wartime president. Joe Biden, this is a crisis. We're at war with a virus. Little Andy Cuomo over here, the soldiers in this fight are out, are our healthcare professionals, blah, 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 blah. We're fighting a battle. And one after another, that little Cazzone Macron over there in France, we are at war. Boris Johnson, we must act like any wartime government. I'm mentioning this because every time they call something a war, the people march off. The people march off. Again, 88% of the people were so stupid that they swallowed the crap spewing out of the mouth of a little daddy's boy, born on third base, thought he had a home run with a brain smaller than a pea, little Georgie Bush. We're going to get that guy Osama bin Laden dead or alive. 88% of the people swallowed it. So now going back to gold, they started the COVID war. We forecast economies are going to crash. They're locking down everybody. Salenti, you don't know what you're talking about. We're going to make up something new. We're going to bring interest rates down to zero. We'll keep them negative over there in Europe, and we'll pump in trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, and with money backed by nothing and printed on nothing. Okay, let's go back to gold. The economy boomed. Merger and acquisition activity hit all-time high. Home prices skyrocketed. Your average price of a home in America is almost $400,000. Oh, your median household income is only $74,500. That's nothing. But anyway, going back to gold. So the dollar got very strong. And then they started raising interest rates, kept the dollar strong. Now they're going to lower interest rates. The lower interest rates go, the weaker the dollar gets. This is the beginning of the death of the dollar. The lower the dollar goes, the higher gold prices go, because gold is dollar-based. And now you're in another country, your currencies are worth more. As the dollar goes down, you're going to buy more gold. And if you don't believe me, just ask the Chinese that are buying up gold like crazy. And the central banks had a record year last year of buying gold. So the deeper the dollar falls, the lower interest rates go, the higher gold goes up. Again, they created a debt bubble that is going to burst. We have a $34.5 trillion debt bubble in the United States, and it's increasing, you know, what, about $1 trillion every couple of months?
Yeah, yeah. We have a chart that we keep up with during our show with the national debt. And it's, just $34 trillion, and it's going up almost $1 trillion now in every 3 to 4 months. Unbelievable degradation of the U.S. dollar. Among the other things we talked about are, that are in today's Trends Journal, the new one just came out just last night. And by the way, I should mention, you're offering 10% off our viewers at Redacted if they want to get the Trends Journal. We'll have a link in the description if they go to redacted.inc/trends. I say it's must read. I read it every week it comes out. Anyone who wants to take advantage of that 10% off can grab it. 10 times better, a million times better than the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or any of those other rags. You guys are doing amazing, amazing work. Among the other things you talked about, so we look at the banks going bust. We talked about gold hitting an all-time high. One of the other big pieces, of course, you've been tracking is the U.S. border invasion getting much worse and what this is going to do to the United States. Where do you see this going over the next few months, Gerald, as we head into the election?
Again, tracking trends is the understanding that all things are connected. So let's go back to 2019. One of our top trends for 2020 was New World Disorder. There were protests and demonstrations going on all over the world. The Yellow Vests in France, the Algeria, South Africa, Chile, Bolivia, all over the world, people taking to the streets because of India, lack of basic living standards, government corruption, crime and violence. They were leaving the countries to get away from this. This is 2019. Then the COVID war begins. Get back in your house. You can't protest anymore.
Right. Yeah.
So people forgot about that. Now what happened? The COVID war comes. It destroyed the lives and livelihoods of hundreds, billions of people. Billions. Oh, take a look at China, the one that launched the COVID war, Chinese Lunar New Year, the year of the rat in 2020. Our forecast used to be the 20th century was the American century, but the 21st century would be the Chinese century, because the business of America has been war and the business of China was business. That changed when they launched the COVID war and 3 years of zero COVID policy. They destroyed the life, they destroyed the country because it was overbuilt anyway, as all booms happen, because when they brought him into the World Trade Organization in 2021, 2 weeks after 9/11 officially, yes, it skyrocketed their GDP. It was overbuilt. Then they locked down the damn place and they made a bad situation very worse. So now let's go around the world. The damage done by the COVID lockdowns has destroyed economies. So people are flooding out of their countries, doing anything they can to get away. And you don't have to believe me. Again, go to the mainstream media, how happy they are in Germany that more labor is coming in because they have a labor shortage.
Right.
Yeah. They get more plantation workers of Slavelandia to work for the bigs, to work for the Walmarts, to work for the Home Depots, to work for the Targets, to work for the Kohl's, to work. You can't own your own business anymore. You got to work for the chains. So they don't care about the cheap labor coming in. Again, in my book, Trends 2000, go back to when the whole internet revolution began in the early 1990s. Hey, you had to pay people a lot of money. No, we got these things called H-1B visas. Yeah, we'll bring them in cheap labor from India and China. Don't worry about it. They don't care. They want all the cheap labor they can to bring in, and that's what they're doing. And there's going to be, when you're going back to the elections, yeah, it's going to be the major issue. And it's a major issue in many countries, and that's why you're seeing the so-called populist movements gaining strength, whether it's the Alternative for Deutschland, AfD, or in Italy with Bologna Maloney over there, one after another, they're playing the role. Well, AfD really means it, but Maloney doesn't. We can't have any more migrants in. So there's going to be a big, big push in the elections to keep the migrants out.
Well, I think it's the number one topic in the United States right now. That, coupled with the banks going bust, we are headed for a crazy 2024 as this election unfolds. So once again, if people want to grab the Trends Journal, I highly recommend it. I read it every week. The new one just came out. And you guys can get, Gerald has set up a special link where you guys can get 10% off. And it's like $2 a week. I mean, come on. It's fantastic information. I mean, really great stuff in here. You guys have the balls to talk about the Israeli genocide in Gaza. No publications will talk about that. They're all cowards. They're all cowards. And you guys actually publish the facts about it. And I love that about what you guys do. That, what's going on in Ukraine, you guys have balls. You guys have balls. And I love it over there. So at the Trends Journal. The link is redacted.inc/trends. You can go there and download it, become a subscriber of the Trends Journal. You know, Gerald, I love having you on, but I also, yeah, I'm torn because you've nailed so many of the stuff that we had at the beginning of 2024, and it's already happening here. Gold, the housing crisis. Now, the next big one we're going to be watching very closely is your prediction, your forecast on the banks. And the mainstream media is lying to people, telling everyone it's going to be fine because they don't want people taking their money out of the banks. And the bank runs, I mean, am I wrong? Are we going to see massive bank runs? Do you believe?
Absolutely. It's already happening. It's already happening with the New York bank over here. Their stock's gone down, what, like 96%? They're going to get hit really big. So here's the thing. Once upon a time, there was a thing called a bank holiday. Isn't that nice? Holiday. You can't get your money out. It's a holiday. Oh, and by the way, turn in all your gold. I'm FDR. Turn in all your gold. You can't own it. As a kid, my father, may he rest in peace, told me, he said, you know, son, he said, I remember going over to your grandfather's house, and he was packing up all his gold. And I said, Pop, what are you doing over here? He said, the president wants us to return the gold, you know, and I'm going to do it. My father, what are you doing? I go, you don't know what you're talking about, he said to my father. The people had to turn in all their gold. That was about $26 an ounce. And then when they got it all, they raised the price of the value of gold to like $30-something an ounce.
Yeah.
It's a crime syndicate. Here, the Russians invaded hacked into our banking system. Don't worry about it. They stole our money, but we're going to come out with a digital currency. Everything will be all right.
Right,
they're
right.
They're going to make up something. They're going to make up something. And again, they say that they're covered for $250,000. You're not going to be covered for anything. This thing is going to go down big. There's no stopping it. The facts are there. The people are not going back to work. The office... isn't it wonderful what's going on in Canary Wharf over there in the UK with HSBC moving out one after another? The banks are going to go bust. They're going to call like a bank holiday or something. You're not going to be able to get your money out. And they'll come out with something new, a digital currency, because they're going to go from dirty cash to digital trash and say, you know, now we know every penny you spent, what you spent it on, where you spent it. So they get more information about you, but most of all, they could steal all your money in the name of taxes.
Yeah.
So that's what they're going to use this thing for.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. They've already laid the groundwork for it. It's coming. People better be prepared and wake up to what's coming. It's happening right before our eyes. Gerald Celente of the Trends Journal. Again, redacted.inc/trends if you're interested in signing up and checking out the Trends Journal. Gerald, always great to see you. We'll have you back here in a few months. I, you know, here's the thing. It's like, I hope you're wrong. It's like, I want you to be wrong. I really do. But we'll check back in with you in a few months here and look at some of the newest trends that are coming out and see where some of these landed with the banks over the past few months. Gerald, great to see you, my friend.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. Thank you for so much what you do. I watch Redacted all the time and the great guests you have on and the truth that you put out there and how brave you are to do that. So thank you so much. And thank all your guests for being on and giving the information that they're putting out there for the people. Because it's becoming harder and harder to get the truth out there. It's just a propaganda network called the mainstream media. So thank you very much.
No, thanks so much, Gerald. I appreciate it. Really appreciate it.
That was nice.
Thank you, Gerald. And I've known Gerald for almost like 15 years now. And it's so funny. I was thinking back to a lot of the times I would interview him like 15 years ago, what he was forecasting with his team. And I would have him on Fox and Friends, on Fox News, on my show, and he was nailing stuff left and right. I would think back to the things that he predicted were coming, boom, 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 down the line. He's been great. So thanks, Gerald. Really appreciate it. All right, we've got more news to get to here. We got one more segment we're going to get to. We're going to talk about this Fannie Willis story, all the corruption going after Donald Trump. Is she profiting off of the of this lawsuit, of this massive case against Donald Trump? How much money is she making? We'll talk about that. But first, I want to tell you about our store. We do have a store. I should mention it. And, you know, we've got our T-shirts, our hoodies, our mugs, our stickers. If you want to support independent journalism, you can go to redactedstore.com. We've got some great mugs over there. I just got an email earlier today from one of our viewers that said, drinking his coffee in his redacted mug, and the mug that said friends don't let friends watch mainstream media. So I appreciate that. And that's one of our hottest selling hoodies right there. Friends don't let friends watch mainstream media. So check them out. Go over to redactedstore.com. We don't mark the prices up at all. We try to keep them very low, right at cost, like right near the cost price of printing them. So it's just a way to support the show and to show your love of the show. And again, just to keep the lights on here. It helps us so much. So anyway, redactedstore.com.
Is Fannie Willis a liar and making money off her case against Donald Trump? All of this, is it unusual also in the world of litigation? Well, we brought Lionel Nation back. That's Lionel Nation on YouTube. He's a legal and media analyst and one of my favorite guests. So can we just sort of give us the lay of the land? Donald Trump is being pursued in Georgia by someone who appears to be profiting off the lawsuit. So a couple of questions. Is this that unusual? What are the rules around recusing yourself if you have these kind of conflicts? So take it away.
Okay, first of all, that's not even the case at all. This is ridiculous. Like, a little context. Donald Trump is being charged under Georgia law for racketeering. Think the Gambino crime family, racketeering. He has about 15 or so. It was 18 or 15, I don't know, a bunch of people who don't even know each other. Pretty much. The only thing they have in common is they're on the indictment.
That's
so they're claiming that he was a part of some racketeering enterprise. It's ridiculous. Now, Fannie Willis is what we call in the business an idiot. And she did something which I don't understand. First and foremost, let's say you were the district attorney of Fulton County, Georgia, and you hired your husband. Okay, your husband. And you hired him. You say, I'm hiring my husband. That's not a conflict of interest. That's not anything. You can do that. There's nothing wrong with that. If you decide to prosecute Donald Trump and you say, by the way, I'm going to appoint my husband a lawyer, special prosecutor, there's nothing wrong with that. You just let people know this. There may be some weird nepotism statute or something in local, but there's nothing that would immediately throw you off the case. It's not a conflict of interest because no stake.
But that you do have a financial stake, though, because your husband would be paid by the state with taxpayer dollars. And so
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because we've already said this. You can hire your husband. And guess what? You're not paying him. The state's paying him. Okay. Is he qualified? Yeah. Ashley Merchant, who was the defense lawyer for Mr. Roman, she's in there with her husband. Now, and I know their defense, but it's husband and wife. They have a kind of a financial interest, so to speak. I don't know where this came from, this idea. Had Fannie Willis said, by the way, Judge, This is my boyfriend, lover, boy toy, the garage door lover. This is Mr. Wade. We've been seeing each other since 2019. I've appointed him special prosecutor. He makes more than anybody per hour. Why? It's my discretion. Might not be the wisest move. They said, okay, that's in full disclosure. That would be the end of it. Now, there might be other reasons that she might be breaking ethical rules, but they're going after her for conflict of interest. And they're saying that that she somehow, because she's romantically involved with him, because she's paying, or the state is paying him, that they're going to somehow enjoy this, that she's going to go on trips by funneling money to her. By the way, this is a woman who's worth over $8 million, and nobody's ever figured that one out. By the way, there's so many layers to this, so let me try to not get too deep. So her first lunacy is the fact of why she fought this, because it's her personality. She's obstinate. She's entitled. Okay. She's
so
arrogant.
You're saying that she should have just said, yes, in fact, that is my boyfriend. And that's not against the rules. And also, I have enough money to pay for these vacations that we take together.
First of all, it's none of your business. I'm paying him. What he does with the money, I don't know. I don't care. I've got my cousins answering the phone. My brother-in-law Larry's in the back. I mean, this is everybody knows this. There's nothing wrong. But what happened was she says, oh, no. We didn't have a relationship until 2022. There we go. Now we're talking about perjury. You did it. You created something that you didn't have to create. So here we go. Now we're into that. And she turned on the afterburners, the arrogance, waving. Let me tell you something. I've been a lawyer now for 41 years. And I have, if I sat back in a chair, sat back and looked at a judge just with this arrogance, there would be approach the bench. It's like, oh no. It's like, this judge, I don't know what happened to him. She owns this place. But let's go through this. Let me tell you what would be a conflict of interest. Let's say Fannie Willis were dating the police officer or the detective or somebody who was a defense witness. That'd be a good one. Because then she would have, the thing is, does she have a stake in the outcome? No. Does the jury know about this? No. What is the conflict of interest? Now, what happened was Ashley Merchant never knew she would pit this gusher of an oil well of an issue with this. Never did. It just got worse and worse. Then you have these people. Now, I don't know if you just love soap operas like I did in the old days when they counted, but just following this, you've got Fanny. And Fanny calls her, but it's not Fawny, it's Fanny. And with all due respect to my Irish friends who might be reeling right now by hearing that. So Fanny decides, no, I'm going to concoct some story. She calls her father somehow. Why? I have no idea. And he says, you see, Judge, I don't want to be racist. It's a black thing because we black people hoard cash. And we're thinking, wait a minute. Where? Now we're going there. So let me get this straight, Nathan. You went with her. And also, he brought his mother. You went on cruises in Napa Valley and wine tasting. And then after this is done, she says, okay, Nathan, because I don't have a checking account. Okay, what was that? $1,300. You take hundreds, smaller bills, $15,000 for that. What about the tips? There's a car fare. You go, stick that in your sock. So she's paying this man back. So this this man goes out, enjoys a time with his betrothed or his lover or whatever, and she pays him back cash, which he can't account for, and the story is just bizarre. Nobody's buying any of this.
So it gets, if it's not as big of a zinger that he was her boyfriend, why did the defense team, and it wasn't Donald Trump's defense team, it was another defendant that brought this up as if it were a bombshell?
That's all they had. Because let's throw it up, let's see what happens.
Right.
And had Fanny Willis said, yeah, we're going together, okay, well, try something else. But it kept getting deeper and deeper. Then we get Mr. Wade. Now, Mr. Wade, of course, whenever he answers, he looked as though like he was passing a hockey puck bezoar. Like he was in the worst pain. He was the best witness. I was like, God, you could tell you've hit pay dirt. And he apparently was asked during a concomitant divorce proceeding on some type of pleading or something. They asked him, did you have sex or did you stray from your marriage or whatever it was during the course of this? And he, through this convoluted idea, said, well, I believe I was cuckolded. My wife strayed from the marriage in 2015. So therefore, it's not a happy marriage. So no, it wasn't a marriage. So no, I did not. Now he's going back and perhaps committing perjury. So now this is getting deeper because of this ridiculous story. And it keeps going. Then he says, I don't know anything about this, about going to her home and the like. Lo and behold, they then go back into this cell hawk, this tracking device, this tracking that says, Mr. Wade, we show here on two particular reasons. You getting, I guess, a booty call. I think that's what the kids call it, Natalie. I'm not sure, but getting a booty call at 12:45 and you going over to this area.
Right.
That looks just like her place.
They used cell data triangulation to say, yeah, you spent a lot of time over at her house. Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Till 4 a.m. where you left. She responds with this. Well, that tracking doesn't mean anything. Wait a minute. That's the data you use to put people in prison. Now, all of a sudden, defendants are saying, what was that? What was that? What?
Right. If I had a case there that they had used that against me, I would say, oh, okay, this is interesting. The state doesn't approve of this anymore.
It gets deeper. I mean, parents should tell their kids this. Look what happened. All she's got to do is just say, I'm going to. So it gets better. Then we get this guy, my favorite, Terrence Bradley. This guy, I can't even diagram his. He's texting. First of all, folks, don't text.
Yeah.
Anything other than have a nice day, smiley face. But when we're saying, okay, Natalie, I'm getting the drugs. Are you? No, don't do this. It's
yeah, you dummies. Don't do this.
Yeah, you can't erase this. So anyway,
my mom and I went to Starbucks and they accidentally gave us two cookies and we paid for one. And I texted it, and I've been nervous about it ever since because of the NSA. We inadvertently stole a Starbucks cookie, and I'm implicating myself here. So you don't do that.
Don't
guys.
Feel bad. Don't feel bad. One time I was at a dollar store in New Jersey, and which is one of my favorite places. I got my globe there, and I walked out with this little stupid thing. I don't know what it was. It was a dollar. So I thought, if I get arrested, Lionel, arrested for stealing from a dollar. So I said, let me go back and pay for it. The line, of course, was down the block. And I said, I only have one thing. Can I jump down? Anyway, so I know you're this paranoia that we live in. But going back to Terrence Bradley was the law, this was the law partner or the associate of Mr. Wade. Now, for some reason, and we've never figured this out, well, Ashley, who by the way is Ashley Merchant, is the new superstar. Fox News or whoever, this is it. This is your new legal, whatever it is. Because these other people are so boring, it's not even funny. But she says, now they're texting. Imagine this. You know, this is a bombshell here. I hope I'm right. And Terrence Bradley says, don't worry, it's okay. Have faith. Are you sure about this? Yes. Are you sure they actually were a couple prior to 22? Absolutely. Come on, girl. You can do it. Okay. They go into court, and he looks like I've seen hostage videos that were more up. He's, well, I, like Nathan Thurm, you know, I don't know if I'm speculating. He's like, Terrence, it's me, Ashley. Remember this? Who the hell are you? You told me, absolutely. Well, I don't want to speculate. You're speculating here. What's going on here? So anyway, they don't know what happened to him. So then here's the best part. And I'm going to say that line a lot. Here's the best part. There's 9 million best parts. You would think that Fannie Willis and her office would say, great, get this guy off the stand. Don't upset him. just, he's great. He's not answering the question. Shut up. That's my rule of cross-examination. Don't. It's the other side's witness. What are you talking to him for? Get him off. Have a nice day. So they get him on the stand, and the lawyer from the district attorney's office said, so, let's talk about why you left that office. It was because of an allegation about sexual assault or sexual battery, wasn't it? And he said, what? Now that's out. You left because somebody, I say, whose witness is this? Why are you impeaching? So he's saying, wait a minute, I don't know anything about this. And where'd that money, did you pay $20,000? Well, maybe. Where'd that money come from? Well, I had some money left in the escrow account. Oh my God. If anything that will get you bounced in terms of a law practices, you're paying from an escrow account? Wait a minute, what? And it gets deeper. Remember the expression, if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. It gets deeper and deeper. Then it gets even better. Cindy Lee Yeager. Who in the hell is Cindy? These names. She says, yeah, I'm a Cobb County Chief Deputy DA or Co-Deputy DA. I'm in my office with Terrence Bradley. Boy, he makes the rounds. He's everywhere. He gets a call from Fannie Willis saying, now, they're coming after us. And I'm paraphrasing. You know, you don't have to tell anybody about us. Does that sound like a threat to you?
Yeah.
The DA says, now, Natalie, they're coming after us. You know, you don't have to say anything. Right?
Right. She's asking for lies. Yeah.
Well, there's that. Then there's another person who's calling up. So he's being threatened. This guy... So what I say, okay, stop right there. Forget conflict of interest. Let's go after perjury, obstruction of justice, and witness tampering. Forget this little conflict of interest. Because now we're looking at her basically having to have her Miranda rights read because you now are a subject. Remember, the governor of Georgia is Republican Kemp, who could have a little say in this. They have something called the GBI, which is like their FBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. They can come in there and say, we're investigating you. So here's the best part, right, to make it even more complicated. Let's say you're Donald Trump. Donald Trump is going to say, I have the most incompetent prosecutor in the world. Don't do anything. I wonder if I'm going to be prosecuted, better her than somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
So let's say she does the right thing and you know they're putting pressure on her to step down and fall on your sword and be done with it. That, of course, is your ticket to, you know, governorship, and it's over. And she's fighting tenaciously to keep this, even though she's ruining the case. Well, let's say it goes to another prosecutor. They reassign it. Goes someplace, I don't know, there's 159 counties in Georgia. Who knew? Some other prosecutor says, I've got this dog. Yeah, I don't want it. Well, you got to do something with it. Okay, I'm going to dismiss it. Can't do that. So that'll add on years, and it may just kind of go away.
Yeah.
So he's got to ask himself, what do I really want to do in this? What is it? Because believe it or not, aside from this, the case is not meritless. You may think it's ridiculous that his phone call to the Secretary of State saying, I need 1,000 or so votes, 10,000 votes, that may not sound like much to you, but you get the wrong jury. So anyway,
yes.
Make a long story short, where we are today is this lunacy. This lunacy, and a lot, I'm sorry to say, there's a lot of commentators missing the point. Now you've got this Senator Warnock, who instead of coming out and saying, listen, I'm not going to get my, he's a Georgia U.S. Senator. I'm not going to get myself involved in this. This is a case involving a courtroom. It would be improper for me. No. You know what he does? He says, well, that's typical, because Donald Trump, of course, he's always tweeting. Well, that's typical Donald Trump going after a black woman, and she's a woman in black, and race. And say, no. So the moral of the story, Natalie, is that this started off as being absolutely, have you ever seen these videos where the cop, I love watching this, a cop pulls somebody over and says, excuse me, ma'am, your tag is loose. Just take this. It's not even a speeding ticket. There's no points. Would you just sign this ticket and I'll be on my way. Get your hands off of me. Next thing you know, she's arrested, tased, and goes to federal. That's what this is. Taking something that was really not that big of a deal and letting your hubris and your you know, this entitled attitude. Yes. And the thing about it, though, is that I don't want to talk about it. Race has nothing to do with this. I mean, listen, sometimes I'll tell you, look, if there's a racial component there, but there's so much metal fatigue to that trope, you know, it doesn't work anymore. You can tell when somebody's lost an argument when they bring up race. So the plot thickens, and this judge, he doesn't know where he is.
Right.
He is wondering. I mean, because he's a Republican, he's got to think, now let's see. Do I dismiss the case? Well, I can't do that. Do I rule that there's a conflict of interest? Can't really do that. But if I don't do that, what will the Republicans think? There's a lot of politics involved here, obviously. But Fannie, is in big, serious problems. Now, one more thing, because I know I'm going too long. If this were Republicans doing this, she would already be in federal prison. The Republicans do nothing to fight back. Nothing. They just sit back and go, okay. They just let her do this. She's gone to black churches. She's violated so many ethical rules. Prosecutors are not, they owe a higher duty.
Wait, what's wrong with her going to black churches? Where's the
nothing wrong with going to black churches unless you're saying they're coming after us because of
my. Oh, she's riling up black churches with the race card.
And commenting on a man who is presumed innocent.
Yes.
She's basically pleading her case. Prosecutor, she can go to a black church. She can go to a Starbucks and steal cookies. Doesn't matter. Like you and your mother did. And don't tell me you didn't, because I know you. And I know your ilk.
But they gave us two. We didn't know it until we were driving away.
I can see it. The internet world was shocked today when Natalie Morris was abandoned.
I turned to my mom and I was like, where'd you get that cookie? She goes, they gave it to me. I'm like, I already have the cookie. What are we going to do?
The plot thickens.
We literally were caught with our hands in the cookie jar.
But this goes to show you, and I'm telling you, I think parents use this as a teaching method. The best thing in the world for anything is to say, yeah, that happened. Think about this. If she just said this, there would have been no Nathan Wade. You would have never heard anything. And by the way, his divorce, his wife's thinking 25-year marriage. I think she's ill or, you know, they have kids. And all of a sudden she finds out he made how much? About $1 million. Wait a minute. I'm looking at his income statements and he didn't say anything about, nobody would have known anything about this.
Wait, is their divorce not settled? So then she has a right to that?
As far as I know, don't hold me to this. I know there's been some tentative settlement or agreement or something, whether it's actually you are a single man now, a free, I couldn't tell you.
If because it's not, then about, if I were her lawyer, I'd be like, oh, that's interesting. Let's see where that money went.
Oh, her lawyer's very good. Because, see, there's this thing that people think. They have this thing called, well, we're separated. Excuse me. I don't know what you think that means. But that, as we say in the South, that dog don't hunt. That doesn't mean anything. What do you mean you're separated? Like, you know, there's these, okay, maybe in your own mind, but you are still, you might be fully fledged married. But let me ask you something. Where does she get $8 million, $5 million in property, stocks, blue chip stocks, gold future? Wait a minute. She's been kind of with government service. I don't know if that's anybody's right to know this, but she's done very well for herself. Where did this come from? I mean, God, I want to talk to your financial advisor. $8 million? What?
Right.
So they say, and that may or may not be relevant. But let me just tell you something. This is the most fascinating set of characters anybody has ever seen. I mean, and Donald Trump is thinking, I finally have something going my way. I finally have the most incompetent prosecutor, and they're fighting back and forth because she wants to hang on to this, because I'll bet you they told her, you know, you stick with us, Fannie, one day, federal judge. Governor, president, vice president, Supreme Court. This is your ticket. This is, and no doubt about it, this is one of the most serious, most important prosecutions in American history. A former president for racketeering? RICO? My God. This is not just, you know, tampering or or overvaluing your real property. This is serious. So well, she may have to say goodbye to this.
Okay. I mean, she is the, she is a embodiment of the phrase, what you resist persists. But you say the case is not meritless, but we have seen that there were missing votes in Georgia. So does that matter?
Yes, but that is maybe for the prosecutor who ultimately handles this. This is a pretrial subsidiary ancillary matter as to her fitness to proceed against a case that is not meritless. This is just about her. This is her. Now, let me ask you this question. Let's assume during the course of this, she were to be charged with plagiarism. Okay? Like we had those big old, you know, Claudine Gay and Harvard. And would that matter? No. Let's say she were charged with stealing funds from the district attorney's office. Would that affect this case? Not really. It would have been in her point of her life. That wouldn't have disqualified her. For you to be disqualified, let me tell you where she was disqualified in a prior case. She targeted a man who was running for lieutenant governor, targeted him, as in the grand jury, targeted him. He was a Republican. Said, I'm going after you. At the same time, she held a fundraiser for his political opponent. Another judge said, sorry, you're disqualified because you have a stake in the case. You're prosecuting a man and at the same time supporting, perhaps financially, but supporting his opponent. Oh, no, 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 no. That's a conflict. See where that makes sense? Perfect. This has nothing to do with it. This is you hired your lover, and he may not be that qualified, and I'll let other people determine that. This could have been, this is not necessarily a violation. What you turn this into is another story.
Right. So there's lies for no reason, just digging a hole.
Precisely.
Yeah. Interesting. Well,
kind of like
you
having it's like having your hand in the cookie jar.
Yes,
Missy.
Something I know nothing about. Okay, well, thank you for that. If thank something you. Happens because of the cookie case, you're now my lawyer. Everybody sees that. So
I will be there.
Starbucks, I apologize. I didn't mean to. Follow Lionel on Lionel Nation on YouTube. And Lionel, always great to see you come back on Redacted soon.
Thank you. All the best.
That's going to do it for us tonight at Redacted. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, if you like what you see, you want more Redacted content, you can join the Redacted Plus Club. You can find out more about it at redacted.inc. We have a book club there. We have other community events. Sometimes we have live streams. We'd love to have you. Check it out at redacted.inc. We will be back here tomorrow, same time, 4 p.m. Eastern. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. See you tomorrow.